Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Burden of Leadership podcast. My name's Paul, Bonnie, Tamian. What's going on, fellas?
Another day in paradise.
Another day in paradise.
Yes.
I like your jacket. Notice, what's the jacket say? Mindset is everything.
Is everything. Mindset is everything.
Mindset is everything. Mindset is Under Armour.
I mean, that works. I'm a true believer in that.
And what's the SF on the other side?
Stay mellow.
So this SM.
SM. So this is actually Carmelo Anthony's brand.
Stay mellow.
And then one of the core elements is
stay mellow.
Mindset over everything.
Well, we're not going to stay mellow today. We're going to talk about our great city.
I'm into it.
So, you know, the goal of the podcast is always to talk about some of the challenges of leadership. Mm-hmm. And there's kind of been a leadership glut that I've seen the last few years, less and less people who want to take on leadership roles because of how we've just ground up and spit out leaders over the last few years with everything that's happened. But in Sioux Falls, we've always done things a little bit different. I mean, I'm not saying we're perfect, but we have this kind of Sioux Falls mindset, or it's called the Sioux Falls Way, that has helped develop leaders and develop the community to what it is today. Now, we spend a lot of time, you know, on the show talking about things we could do better as a community, things we could do better as individuals. But there's some things we do right too.
For sure.
And so Sioux Falls last year, 2022, we were the sixth fastest growing city in the country of the 130 largest cities. So we're like the 127th, 128th largest city in the country. There's only five cities that grew faster than Sioux Falls. Three were in Florida. Two were in Texas, and then us. And so you got some south cities down in the warm climates, and then freezing cold mm-hmm. Sioux Falls, so that's saying something. So I share that just because there's some things the community's doing right to attract people who want to come here, want to live here, who want to stay here, raise a family here. Why do you think that is? Why do you think this community has grown the way it has the last few years? And what do you think has driven that in a time when a lot of municipalities have seen, especially in large municipalities, the Chicago's, the LA's, the New York's, yeah. The world, have Austin, Texas, they've seen people fleeing.
Well, freedom.
Freedom. Well,
I mean, like,
freedom aside.
Yeah.
But you can laugh about
it,
but that's been part of it.
It's a for sure thing.
And people
it's
have come
sure
here because they sure the kids stayed in school here for the most part in the pandemic and all that. But
and it's a thing, and I think that's a legit thing. I think I say it that way because a lot of times is presented in such a sticky manner.
Yeah,
but it for sure is grounded in the reality of a thing where is we're still in a place of live and let live, which I think is pretty valuable for the most part here. So I think we do that really well. But the other piece of it is it has potential and it could be affected. That's my thing. You know, I the reason why I stay here, and I always tell the story. I was doing a podcast and somebody asked me if you could live anywhere in the world, where would you live? And I was like, I can't live anywhere in the world. I live here. I choose this place. And part of the reason why I choose it is because I get to participate in it. I get to move it, and it's malleable. You know, I always say there's two types of people. There's flower people and there's frosting people. You know, frosted people want to go to a place where the thing is done, the cake is baked. You know, New York and LA and those things, they are what they are. You know what I mean? You can frost it, maybe put a cherry on top, touch it up a little bit, but it is what it is. I'm a flower person. Like, I want to be in the mix. I want to determine what the taste is, what the flavor is, what the consistency is. I want to be in the thing. And I think somebody that moves here today can have an effect on this community today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that's true in a lot of
people. I've even seen that. There's been some people that have moved to this community. I'm not going to call them out to embarrass anybody, but people who've not been here long, 2, 3, 4 years, and they are involved and they are engaged. And I see their names on a lot of stuff. And they're being reached out to for insights and to serve on different boards and different opportunities. And all it really took was them wanting an opportunity, putting their hand up in the air and saying, hey, I'll help.
I think that's the thing for me is the ability to get involved and make a difference. Like, you go to even a Minneapolis, you know, you're one out of a couple million. Like, what is it going to take to make a true difference? Like, we are that little big town, you know, 210. It's a decent size, but you could really get involved and get engaged and therefore have a say-so. And whatever you're passionate about, if you're passionate about the arts, if you're passionate about bike paths, you're passionate about the school systems. There's so many ways to truly get involved, and you see that it matters. Because I was listening to a Oprah Winfrey interview, and she said, you know, she had interviewed over 35,000 people in her career. And she said the one commonality amongst people is they want to know, do I have value? Do I matter? Like, she would, like, Beyonce or President Bush, President Obama, when they got done an interview, they'd always turn to her and be like, did I do okay? And again, you want that validation. And so when people want purpose and you want to get involved in something, this is a community where you can actually do that. And we're trending well. It's we have some really good restaurants. You know, as Vani had talked about in previous episodes, we go visit friends in the big cities for a good weekend, and that's enough, because going anywhere in 45 minutes, I'm 7 minutes to work.
Yeah.
And so when you have some of the big city amenities by way of, we're in Highball right now, this beautiful space downtown, so many places to go, just in downtown's happening. So I think our trend well is providing a great experience where people are like, I want it, it's big city-ish without the big city problems and the big city traffic.
Yeah.
It's a big deal.
What do you think? So there's a lot of good programs in our community. I mean, you guys have started something called Leaders of Tomorrow, which basically is a great program that invests in emerging, upcoming, and not, and sometimes not just emerging, existing leaders that just haven't been discovered. And empowers them to do even more in their community. That's been a great program. But we have Leadership Sioux Falls and Leadership South Dakota and some of our other nonprofit boards that have been good at developing people. What are some of those programs you think that exist in our community that have done a good job at unearthing people and empowering people to make the community better? Because in a past episode, we talked about the fact that the culture of a community is not driven by a mayor or a city councilor, or it's driven by the people in the community. And those people have to be developed to want to be leaders and to be bought into the culture of a community. So how do people get bought into the culture of this community, and what are some of the programs that are doing that right now?
I mean, honestly, one that probably people wouldn't think about like that, I think people need to talk about more, is LSS, man. Like, that's a crazy machine to have to figure out, you know what I mean? Like, coming from, let's just say Africa, which is where a lot of our immigrant refugee population comes from. You have people originating from Africa coming to Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and sometimes this is their first couple experiences in the state. Children, English second language, parents don't know any English. Children know some English and are in school. And when you talk about connecting those folks with, you know, mentorship and all of those different type of things and placement and interpretation, I think that is an understated thing in terms of how much that population represents and what it will represent. And ingratiating those people, educating those people, and connecting those people with people who can help them elevate. I think that's a super slept on element in our community.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. What about you?
I got two that really are, in broader stroke, our nonprofit community. I think we're largely in part as good of a community as we are because of our nonprofits. They serve the underserved needs of your community, and if they weren't there, and there's so many just phenomenal people who could go make more money, and those are like some of the real heroes, right? Because if they weren't in those positions doing those things, more of these needs don't happen, your community looks different. So I think they're the unsung hero in a lot of ways. And so our nonprofit community as a whole, which bubbles that up, it speaks of, you know, even what United Way was able to do for so many years, to raise the dollars they do. I think per capita, we're like the second highest giving United Way in the country, something like that. But the other entity that I think really points to is Forward Sioux Falls. You know, you look at the semblance of, I mean, to be able to raise $15, $16 million every 5 years to get your industries, your community leaders to come together and say, okay, what are the needs over these next 5 years? Go out and do this massive campaign to raise the funds. Again, ask yourself, what happens if those funds aren't raised to go do these things and go here and do those type of things? All of a sudden, the little burr in the saddle start to happen, the pebble in your shoe starts to happen. And so just it addresses it. It really, I don't say puts a mask on, but addresses a lot of the needs that otherwise would make our community look much different, which changes the experience.
Totally. And Forward Sioux Falls, if you back up from, so today we have a huge Amazon facility out at a place called Foundation Park, and it's cranking out jobs, and it's been a nice economic development win. Well, how did we get Amazon to come to Sioux Falls? Well, we needed a parcel of land. So we needed Foundation Park, which was a big parcel of land that Forward Sioux Falls bought. And it needs to be developed. And so, but for something like Forward Sioux Falls, you like A equals B, B equals C, these things don't happen, but for the vision that people had long ago for something like that. So I always tell people, and of course I have to say this because I'm the mayor, but it's the absolute truth, is the level of collaboration that happens in Sioux Falls is very unique. Mm-hmm. So what I mean by that is, take our law enforcement center. We got our sheriff's office and our police office, police department, in one building together. Okay, they share a building together. Even that level, that's just what we do here. We're like, it's the law enforcement center. That's not normal.
It is not like that.
That's not normal. You go to a bigger city, the sheriff's department and the cops aren't like sharing break rooms and work. It's like, this is weird.
Yes.
And the best example of what I would consider the Sioux Falls way is this. In the last 2 years, we put together this funding program that's going to build a $90 million applied research lab that's going to house 500 six-figure cyber researchers who are going to do like high-end government cyber research, cybersecurity. We could have Northrop Grumman in here. We could have high-end, you know, Google cyber researchers. And it's a huge economic development. Well, how do we get this applied research lab? It was a collaboration financially between the state of South Dakota, the Sioux Falls Development Foundation, Sanford Health, the city of Sioux Falls, Dakota State University. Like all those entities all signed the same memorandum of understanding and partner agreement to all go in on this thing together. And like, where else do you have that, that all these organizations just all want to row in the same direction for the good of a community? And a lot of people here in Sioux Falls will be like, yeah, of course, we'd all want to support that. It's just not always that way. There's really fiefdoms and there's fighting and there's territorialism that sometimes grab holds. And you just don't see that a lot here, which is pretty cool.
No, it is. And even that doesn't speak to all of the different kind of funding components that go in there and different organizations that will touch it. And what we talk about for a lot of the social things that we're looking at doing, you know, we pick up the phone, we call the person, we get together and we start talking about the thing. And I think that is special for Sioux Falls in particular, but I think it also is a matter of time. And that's why I say, like, I'm always cautious because there's some of our advantages that have a natural expiration date. There's certain things that we have because we're a little big town. And we know everybody, and we can, you know, but that quickly becomes something else. And so when we talk about these things that we do really well, how do we scale them? You know, how do we scale them? How do we make sure that they stay, you know, key to what it is that we're doing? Because, you know, those cooperative relationships can easily become old boys or girls clubs. They could easily become inside baseball. It could easily become all of these different type of things. Because listen, one thing you find out being on the outside, getting into the situation, because you don't always appreciate it, is that if you find a group of people that you like working with and feel good to work with, and they want to get after the thing, like you want to get after the thing, that's who you want to work for. I'm not going out there trying to look for other people, you know what I mean, to start a new relationship with sometimes. What are some ways that you all think that we could, you know, bolster these things and scale these things so that they stay that way?
Well, I think for me, obviously you have to focus on youth and how do we engage youth differently, right? So I'm probably a really good example of this. 4 years ago, most of the community had no idea who I was. And I'm at, you know, was a highly successful businessman, all these type of things. And there was no pathway from, I had this potential in me, right? And but there was just no connective tissue in there. And the way we've always done it was, most of the stuff is driven by people who are in that later seasons of life where they have the resources, they have the knowledge, and they have all those type of things. But this next generation don't want to wait. And to a degree, nor should they at the same token. Yes, they should have the experience, but how do we start to involve them earlier in the process and teach them collaboration? Again, these things that we're talking about, how do we teach them, but not just amongst each other, to collaborate in the process? At the same token, I think the nuance is going to be, they want to be involved sometimes just because I have an idea, well, you need some experience with that idea. You got to have some wisdom with that idea, some knowledge with that idea. And so to scale that is
work ethic with that idea.
Work ethic with that idea. Because some of the stuff, you can't just want it. How do we start to pass that along earlier? I know you're obviously you're big on mentorship, but I think it goes beyond that. It's a pathway of involvement, because some of the issues that we're facing is different. As when I was growing up in the school system, we were 5% diversity. I was one of a handful of kids in my elementary. My daughter has had classes where she's had a handful of white kids in her class by itself. Like, the demographic is changing, 40%+ diversity. So I think those are two big challenges that we have to say is how do we start to say that the table that we see today is going to be a whole new table, a different table, a whole lot sooner than what it has historically been. So the way we've always done it of just wait your time, you climb the ranks, you do the thing, that's not going to work going forward. And so to scale that part of it, you have to have a concern, consideration, and a plan for how do we build this new table, get people involved early enough to have a say so, but at the same time have the experience.
Well, and to use the table example, like the table, it has to keep getting bigger as the city grows and evolves. So I think Sioux Falls is getting there, but we have a long ways to go in terms of recognizing who's not at the table that should be, that historically has never been at the table. So for me, I spend a lot of time keeping partisanship and politics out of the city as it grows and expands. And I know it's only a matter of time before that isn't realistic anymore, but people are so burnt out and disgusted, even I could say, over politics, that they don't want a city that is political, and political issues are kind of knocking at our door all the time. They want you as a mayor or as a city leader to get involved in Roe v. Wade, or get involved in the immigration crisis, and you have to know where your lane is and what things are local issues and what things are not, because I think the Sioux Falls way and the way of collaboration only happens when we steer clear of gaslighting issues. And not in a way that's like, well, we don't have hard discussions, but in a way of recognizing how will this issue unite us? How will this issue divide us? And what's the best way to approach it so that we can still acknowledge that it exists,
right,
but do so in a way that's inclusive of everybody's ideas and perspectives? Because we talk about things all the time where me and you disagree on certain topics and certain policies, and me and you, I'm sure, disagree on certain topics and policies. That's okay, but we can do it in a way that still shows respect and decorum and collaboration. So the Sioux Falls way, in my opinion, and that collaboration that we've seen continues to exist when we recognize that there's a lot of different opinions and everybody's opinion matters, and that we can agree to disagree for the good of the community. And sometimes we have to say, hey, I'm wrong on this one. I'm wrong on this one, and I'm gonna step aside because it seems like the overarching view of the community is to move in this direction,
right,
and I'm gonna go that way then.
Well, you're only gonna do that if you save, you know? I had an experience where I, for a short period of time, I was part of a political football in the middle of a campaign. And
I remember that, Bonnie.
Yes, that was a little bit of a thing. And I was getting interviewed on it because I was frustrated by the fact that I was put into the situation, and especially as a citizen that contributes to the community. Because my thought was, it's like, man, why would somebody pull me into this tone of a discourse like me? Like, why would you come at me? Like, I feel like I'm one of the good guys, you know what I mean? And I felt that for a moment, but I also felt a lot of people saying, nope. Not him, not this. And it filled my heart up with a lot of hope, just to be able to say, man, there's a tide turning where people really don't want this level of toxicity. They know we're not going to line up on everything. They know we're not going to agree. And when somebody was interviewing me, that, you know, there was a bait there to make it a thing, you know. And my thing was, it's like, that's not really what we do here.
Yeah,
exactly. We don't really do that. I pick up the phone. I call the mayor, I pick up the phone, call the chief, I pick up the phone and go talk. We don't do that. And in that moment, even as I was saying it, you know, I was so grateful. And it became clear how rare it is. that we just get in the room and we figure this stuff out. One of the things I'll tell you, it's not a program. Our community banks, our financial institutions, the people who run them, like the humans that run them, and the humans that are coming up next are, in many cases, exceptional human beings. Because especially in a lot of places, you think of your financial institutions as the vultures, as the people who are sucking the life out of the thing or whatever. Like, we can literally have a meeting with the heads of three financial institutions that are all direct competitors that are on the same block. And they'll come together to figure out how we can fund a thing or do a thing or whatever. People got to understand that is not par for the course. That's not par for the course. That's not happening everywhere.
Yeah.
And that's the one thing I always really want to drive with people and get them to understand and appreciate.
Do you think that is a Midwest thing?
I guess. I mean, like, that's all I could chalk it up to right in this moment. I'm assuming it happens in some places that are outside of the Midwest, but like, I've never really experienced it.
I think there's that. Partially, but I think there's keys that play a factor in that. But I'm curious, like when you talk about, you use the terminology a few times of Sioux Falls Way, right? And I think part of the experience, there's a part of it, like what other characteristics that we want to be a part of, that we want to be known for. But there's also the times, like I lead into that the other way of like, let's really be challenging that, because the Sioux Falls experience is not the Sioux Falls experience for everybody, right? It's, you know, we've experienced this quite a bit in the last election, you know, make America great again, you know, for who?
Wasn't great for
everybody. It wasn't great for everybody. And in that same tone, we can't be naive, because it's easy to sit back off of positive intent. I'm a good person. I go to church. I do my tithes. I give to places. I'm a good person. Well, when we talk about the Sioux Falls experience, again, you go back to rate. What is the experience if you're an immigrant refugee here? For most of my life, I didn't feel like it was a great experience living here, because I saw what happened to my dad being a person of color, some of those different things. And then going back to the idea of, and it's not everyone's responsibility to a degree, but it's, to some degree it is. If we truly say these are the morals that we want to be known for, it can't just be, I talk to people all the time, some people, if you come here and you're well off, you love this community. If you come here and you're not, you have a whole different experience. And now, again, there's a part of that of, you know, again, how do you get access? People have to have the work ethic to do those type of things. But how do we, that's part of it for me, is like when we talk about those morals and those character traits and the things that we want to be known for, how do we make those more prominent? And then be, this isn't an attack, it's an assessment by way of when someone, if I'm a business, if I get a bad customer review, I don't attack the customer. That was their experience. Yeah. No different than, that wasn't my intention, but their experience matters.
Yeah.
And any good business cares about that customer and says, how do I make that right? And that's the one part that I do see we have as an opportunity of how do we start to close those gaps? Because we haven't got fully honest about a lot of those experiences, because we just want to like.
Because sometimes it's one of those, like, if you don't like it, go home.
Yeah,
situation.
Move.
You know what I'm saying? Now, my thing with people is, and I think everything is nuance. I think if you don't want to work on it, move, because it can't get better. If you're not going to participate, it can't get better. So then you should probably find something more that you like. But this idea that if you're frustrated or challenged by something or you don't like something, that, you know, you either eat it or, you know, that type of thing. I think there is some opportunity to figure out better ways that we can account for that percentage of folks who don't have an equitable experience.
And I think that is one area where Sioux Falls over the years, I think, has done an okay job, where people recognize a need and they say, you know what, I can either complain about it or I can get involved. I can start a neighborhood soccer. There's a problem. There's a solution. Most of the time, the solutions only take time. I mean, they take resources too, but they just need someone to say, I'm going to do something about it. You know, I'm going to run for office. Okay, I see some things I want to do better. I'm going to run for office. I'm going to start a program for emerging leaders in our community to get better. I'm going to start a neighborhood soccer program. I'm going to start a program for, you know, the homeless community. I mean, whatever it is. So what challenges me always and what frustrates me is when people in a community have tons of ideas on all the problems, but They don't. It's like, well, but that's, I don't want to get involved. I just see this is something we need to work on. It's like, well, okay, but you got to be willing.
We call it dropping off problems.
Dropping off problems. And man, they get dropped off on social media every day at my doorstep. And I'm like, I get it. But how can you help me with this?
This goes back to, you know, previous episode, we were talking about the concept of having, you know, community camps or community classes in school. And one of the things that I think is a part of that is having dedicated time and showing people how to formulate a conversation or an idea similar to you would a business need, but a community need. How do you communicate what it does, what it prevents, what it could do for the future, what it might cost, you know, what it might save. And getting people to think in that way, because what a lot of people don't appreciate is that when they go on to Twitter or whatever, and they say whatever it is that they want to say, number one, they could have taken that same amount of time and energy and the same amount of characters, formulated it into an email to their representative, and had 100% greater chance that that actually results in an actual policy change or something that happens. And by doing it, particularly when it's vitriolic and it's just dropped at people, you either create a situation where you degrade the leader to a degree that that person is less of a leader, right? Because mental health, how they feel about themselves, their confidence and all of that, you're making that person less likely to be effective and successful. Or for that person to protect themselves, they eventually have to ignore that type of stuff. And you're guaranteeing that that person doesn't actually entertain or listen to what it is that you're saying. For me, and that's another opportunity I have in terms of scalability, is teaching people the tactical value of decorum, the tactical value of being open and friendly and being agreeable. Because there's people that I agree with that are just disagreeable people. Mm-hmm. And so I don't like being around those people.
And there's people I disagree with that I really like a lot. But I disagree with them. I'm always in, but they're just good people.
Yeah.
It's like, we're just out of line and everything, but I love you, man.
One has the potential
to
change for the better. The other one doesn't.
Right.
When you disagree with somebody, but you like them, you're incentivized to figure out ways where you can agree. When you agree with somebody and you don't like them, that's usually going to, you know, diminish that relationship. And even when we agree, it's going to make it harder for us to get together.
Well, I think this, so we can talk about the experience. You know, my last question here on this one is, you know, obviously we're in a space, we're all about the same age, you know, and so it takes some time, it takes some experience to get here, right? There, that can't be lost. But the experience of a community is really highly dependent upon the people who are leading it. As you're looking at this next generation, because at some point we go pass the baton, as you look forward to this next generation, what is something that you're hopeful? Like, I feel good about get passed it along with this group and then keeping the experience a certain way or improving upon it. And what's something about this next generation that you like, I'm concerned about the experience, the Sioux Falls experience is staying the same because they're lacking X.
Boy, it's good stuff, man. I mean, I think what gives me a lot of hope is not just blowing smoke here, but I think, you know, you guys specifically have done a good job at empowering and growing and allowing people to be noticed and recognized who have had potential. They just needed to have kind of some dust swept off them a little bit. Mm-hmm. They were there. And so I think we have a deep bench in Sioux Falls. So that gives me a lot of hope. I think our bench of leaders, especially our young leaders, I think is really getting strong. And the 20, 30 year olds now are going to be the 40 and 50 year olds, you know, in 10, 20 years who are going to be sitting in these chairs. And so I think that's good. I think what gives me a little concern is I don't see a lot of people who get excited anymore about wanting to be in elected offices. And elected offices are really important to setting the tone for a community, whether that be people running for school board, or run for a city council, or run for legislature. You don't get a real deep bench of people that aspire to. We got a deep bench of leaders, but very few who want to say, I'd like to subject myself to that criticism and to be on that video and to have people say this. I'm worried about how do we keep good, pragmatic idea people in office and at the expense of not having the crazy people that are there for attention. And they're in there for the theatrics of it, and not for the desire to serve.
For me, it's an entitlement to righteousness without consideration of a person's circumstance. And not that people don't have a right to justice or people don't have a right to freedom or those type of things, those quote unquote God-given things or things that happen that come with a person, but that idea that the world is right and it should just be right, despite what's happening to you, what's happening to me, despite how you were raised. We call it, whenever we talk about culture, we always say there's no villains and there's no victims. Because once you make somebody a villain, no one cares about their experience. No one cares how they grew up. No one cares if they were abused. No one cares if they were resourced, if they were mentored, if they had what they needed. And once you make somebody a victim, you don't push them anymore. You don't challenge them anymore. You coddle them and you accept their circumstance. It is getting folks that you know, I don't want to park into the grit because I don't think that's artful enough to explain all of it, but it is just getting to the point of understanding that things aren't naturally right. They are made right. You know, when you have a customer service experience, everything that went the way it's supposed to is not notable. You don't even acknowledge that when everything goes right. A great customer service experience is when something goes wrong and someone makes it right. If it's wrong, make it right. And do the thing and address the thing and go about your business and enjoy yourself while you're doing it. Don't be tortured by the fact that everything isn't right. Don't be in a corner someplace because you can't get the world perfect. Make it right, enjoy your life, and then pursue it. And so that's the thing that I think, if we do a good enough job of instilling that, the future could throw whatever at us and we're gonna deal with it.
Yeah, I think I'm optimistic by way of, I feel like the next generation is obviously aware that they're being handed a whole set of issues that is going to need some real thoughtfulness. So that level of, I would call it activism, I see it more different, way, way more different than when you and I were growing up in school system. Like, again, I wasn't active and I wasn't even, had no kind of mind. So I didn't see a lot of people talking about it. So I think a willingness to be activated is there, like generations I haven't seen in quite some time. The concern of it is wanting without the work. I just want things. I just want it because it's, again, it's supposed to be right. Cool. There's a lot of things that should have been, but it's not. So now what? And so that willingness to really work hard and figure that out, like that's what's concerning, that it's not just going to happen. And so when that experience, I know Bonnie talks about this oftentimes, you know, when the younger folks want it to change, it's like you have to step in the shoes of the person who got there. They worked their whole life to get here. How long would it take for you to relinquish the power that you worked hard to get? They're not gonna just get it over cause, right? And that's that mindset of you haven't put in the experience. And I hate that idea of like, you just wait your turn, because you should be able to move with as much urgency as you want to, but it's gotta be in perspective of there's experience that come with that, right? You don't just get wisdom, you get knowledge. Knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power, but it's only experience knowledge that turns into wisdom. And so you need some experience and wisdom to lead well, to make sure you're considering beyond just yourself, its opinion and those type of things. And so the broader Sioux Falls experience is gonna be highly dependent on being open, curious, put the work in, those type of things.
All that. Again, just because we're stopping the conversation here doesn't mean you have to get into those comments and have that conversation. Make sure you do so respectfully, thoughtfully, considerately, compassionate. I don't know if that last one was a word, but you get what I'm saying. Make sure you like and subscribe and share with everybody so they can be a part of it and that you get this as soon as it drops. Until next time, the burden of leadership.